Welcome to the Flow State Podcast, where we're all about finding balance. We're your hosts, Monica Groney
and Nora Candido. Now let's get into the flow.
Welcome back to the Flow State Podcast, everyone. It is episode 10 of season 4. That means this is the end of season 4. We will take a little break and we will be back with more info on season 5 soon. But today, to wrap up the season, we have Tara LaFerriera, who is an amazing coach. She is an amazing human. Nora and I have both followed her on Instagram for a long time. You need to go follow her right now. Her content is so empowering and amazing. She is one of the strongest people I think I have probably ever met. And she is doing amazing work to help empower women to take up more space. She's a strength coach, a mobility coach, and the mindset work that she does with her clients and with her community is also amazing. She trains people all over the world through her online programming, and I have learned so much from her. This episode today is filled with amazing information, her backstory about being a collegiate athlete, as well as some of the challenges that she has come up against with body image, comparison traps, getting tough feedback, and being in toxic environments, and how she's working with women today to get strong as fuck. So glad you're here. Can't wait for you to listen to this episode. Enjoy, and hopefully we will see you next season. Enjoy today's episode, everyone.
Thank you so much for having me, ladies. I always like to talk about what happens before I get on the podcast because we always have the best conversations. And I just so appreciate you being on this podcast. You guys, I pretty much pitched myself as a random email about a barbecue order. So I'm just super excited to be here. So thank you so much. I am located in Austin, Texas. I've been a trainer for 12 years. I've been fully online for about 6. I have a group program called TL Method, and I work with clients online to help heal their relationship with food, be mindful movers, and to take up space. And all of that is done through strength training, mobility, and mindset.
So amazing. And speaking of before we hit record today, all of us literally jumped on this podcast recording and flexed. So I think it's really cool to have a bunch of women in the room that are all really proud to be strong. And we were taking up a lot of space in this little recording studio online here. So that's inspiration. Please take it. I'm so excited for us to chat today. And I think that a lot of our audience is going to really resonate and relate to your experience with body image, how you have talked about losing yourself through comparison and feedback from coaches and people in your life. And I would love for you to just kind of share a little bit about that experience, which I believe happened in college. Is that right?
Yeah. Like the big thing I talk about a lot is this incident that you're talking about in college. I ran track in high school and I was really fast. I always call those the glory days. I don't know exactly how old you guys are, but that was literally half of my life ago, high school.
Yeah. Same.
When did you guys graduate?
High school, 2007.
Yeah. Okay, same. Did you have the James Bond 007 prom theme too?
Yes.
Of course, we all did.
Of course.
Yeah.
Hey there, Flow State Podcast listeners. It's your host, Monica. I wanted to interrupt this episode real quick to share with you a little bit about my brand, Mireya. Mireya is a nutritional company that helps support women who are dealing with symptoms of hormone imbalance. I don't know about you, but I struggled with awful periods for over 17 years. Head back to season 1, episode 5 to learn more about my story and struggles with PMDD. When I discovered the life-changing benefits of having a solid foundational multivitamin in my everyday routine, my life was changed forever. I had more energy, my moods were balanced, I was able to resume life as usual, and feeling normal sometimes just feels so freaking good. That's why I teamed up with dietitians, nutritionists, naturopathic doctors, and OBGYN to create the best possible foundational multivitamin for women who experience symptoms of hormone imbalance.
I am so excited to share this with you. If you haven't checked it out yet, head to www.moreawellness.com. And of course, for all of our listeners, I have a special discount. You can use the code FLOWPOD, FLOWPOD at checkout to get a special discount. Okay, back to the episode.
I'm a baby in comparison. I graduated in 2013, but no 007 for me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you are a baby. That's for sure. But that's okay. You can still hang with it. So I ran track. I was a sprinter, super fast. And, you know, my first full ride offer I got was to a school called Drake University. Drake University is a small town in Des Moines, Iowa. And my parents were like, full ride, you're going to take it. And I was like, oh, but Des Moines, Iowa, like who wants to live there? No offense to any of your Midwest listener, but it was not the place that I wanted to be. But anyways, I went to school for a couple of years there. And within going there, you know, I grew up with three brothers. My family was super strict. And I finally had this freedom of being in a new place and having unlimited access to alcohol and food. And I did a lot of that. I partied a lot. I got myself into a lot of shady situations. And I started binge eating. And that was like kind of where my whole food story began, where food was like this enemy that I thought was kind of out to get me, and struggled a lot with my body image that first year, and really utilized alcohol, unfortunately, as this like coping mechanism. So that first year, I gained some weight and I wasn't as good as I was coming into the track team. And the second year, like going into sophomore year, my coach was like, we got to get you on a nutrition plan. You have to lose some weight. And like, what can we do to make sure that you go back to what you were originally coming in here as? And then I saw a nutritionist. I was on this program. It wasn't working because I kept binge eating because I had this like such bad relationship with food that I would be like, oh, I'm going to do 1500 calories during the day and just like binge eat at night while all my friends were like going to the dorm room hall or the food hall. So I didn't end up losing the weight. She sent an email out to me, but I like to say accidentally sent it to the entire team, like CC'd the entire team. And it said, if you don't lose the weight, we're going to take away a big chunk of your scholarship. And at that point, it was like mid sophomore year. I actually had just injured, I tore my plantar fascia in my foot. So I was already out for like a couple months then. And I got that email, my heart sunk. And 2 weeks later, I was like, I'm leaving. I can't be here anymore. It was just such a terrible, toxic place to be. And so yeah, I left Drake University. I went back to Denver to like finish out schooling and move back in with my parents. And my parents were just like so disappointed in me. And so I kind of went into this like disappointment of my coach to like back living at home in this like really toxic environment and still, you know, binge eating. And then I was working as a bartender and server. So I was in that like very alcohol centric place. It felt like this like circle that I could not get out of. I felt like I was like digging myself deeper and deeper into this hole. And so that's kind of my story about how I got there. It's not a happy story in there, but there is a happy ending, obviously, now that I'm a coach today. But yeah, it was not fun at all.
You'd mentioned that you experienced like using alcohol as a coping mechanism. And I'm really curious to hear if that's something that you realized in hindsight, or at the time, were you like aware of that experience?
Definitely not in the time that it was happening. You know, at 19, 20, 21 years old, when you're not even supposed to be drinking, that's kind of the least of your worries is like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. No, you're like trying to survive. I really do feel like some people are like, oh my God, college was the best years. Like, don't you want to be back in your 20s? And I'm like, absolutely effing not. I am so happy to be where I am today because I can look back at that time and see who I've become from there. But I definitely did not know that in the moment. And even now, like, I know I had a poor relationship with food and alcohol, but I never really felt like I was an addict personality at all. It was more just like I would just try and, you know, cover a lot of the feelings that I had with that and a lot of the insecurities and stuff that I had felt growing up in that. So I actually don't drink anymore at all. And that's like a huge piece of why I do what I do today. I also like have some addicts in my family and, you know, want to be involved in alcohol at all. But like when I look back at it, I'm just like, yeah, I definitely used it in not a great way for sure.
Mm-hmm. I have a twofold question or comment first. Like, one, I think it's amazing that even at that age, you were able to acknowledge and say, I don't want to stay in this environment. And you did something about it, because very easily could have gone the other direction, doubled down, like developed maybe even more of an eating disorder or disordered eating patterns, and given in to what they were asking of you, which is an absolutely absurd ask. One. Like, the question piece is, if you could go back and tell that version of yourself one thing, what do you think you would say to yourself?
I always say that I wish that I had someone like me back then. And that's really, truly like why I am a coach today, is because I want to be able to support women when they are going through some really tough times. Like, I'm not a dietitian, so, you know, I work with other people to like help them get to where they are with food. But having a support system would have been so helpful. And I really do feel like if I actually reached out and asked people around me, there would have been someone to do that. But I think I was so in my own head that I was like, I can figure it out myself. I'm an independent woman. Like, I will do this. But if I literally just asked, I really do think that there could have been a lot more opportunity and growth in that moment. But, you know, when I look back at it now, I'm like, I don't regret anything that I've done or said, because it's made me who I am. But yeah, that's what I tell a lot of people today. It's like, when you're in that moment, please just like, there's someone around you that really cares and loves you so much and wants you to succeed. And I wish that someone was in my head telling me that then.
The Nutrition with Nora Academy is here, an online platform built to empower you through education around your health from a trusted source, me, Nora, your registered dietitian. Come here to learn, seek community, accountability, and get your questions answered through workshops, events, and guest expert sessions. As a valued Flow State listener, you will receive a special discount. I'm overjoyed to have an accessible place for individuals to come, learn, and work with me. Come check it out. I feel like you've made the community aspect of things in your current coaching really prominent, and it sounds like that could be a big driver of it. I know for my own community, it's like, you are not alone, and whatever you're navigating or struggling with, just knowing that you're not the only individual going through that is so supportive and helpful, and seeing someone who's been on the other side and can be that leader or inspiration to you, it's everything.
Yeah. And I mean, I will say, like, the huge part of me getting out of this deep hole and like spiral was community. There was a gal that kept asking me to go to this boot camp at the park for like probably 4 to 6 months. And I was like, no, that's stupid. That's not me. I actually became like a long distance runner, and I hated every second of it because I was like a sprinter. And I was like, well, what do I do now? Just run 200s on the track? And it's like, no, you have to run. So I ended up being like this long distance runner, and she kept inviting me. And I was like, no. And then I finally went. And I like remember it so vividly, going to this at Wash Park in Denver. And I remember it like walking up, and everyone was so supportive. There was high fives, and there was like camaraderie, and everyone's like pumping each other up. And I was like just having so much fun, even though I was bear crawling and jumping around, but there was like that community again. And that's what really brought me out of this. Like, there's so much more out there, and there are people that really want to help you and help each other. And being around like super uplifting people, but also having that competitive sports kind of minded thing was so helpful for me too.
Was that the impetus for you to then like kind of transition into becoming a trainer?
Oh yeah, 100%. I started going to that boot camp. It was like every Saturday. And then they ended up actually like opening up a gym in Denver. And then I started going to the gym. And I probably went there for like 4 to 6 months before one of the trainers came up to me and he was like, you should coach here. And I was like, no, I had a full-time job at the time. And then I was like, well, maybe I will. And so I got like a little group cert, and my first class ever was a Flex Friday class. Speaking of flexing, we called it Flex Fridays, 5:30 p.m. And I had, you know, 15, 20 people. And I was like, this is the coolest moment ever. And I just loved it so much. And that was, yeah, the catalyst was like going to that one boot camp at the park.
That's like such a cool experience to be able to bring it back to a singular moment too, and be like, wow, this really made such an impact on who I've become.
For sure. And I'm so grateful for that experience and that gym. And like, ultimately, I was there for like 5 years and kind of moved on. And obviously, I'm not there anymore. But like, I really am just so grateful for that original experience that I had with them, because I wouldn't be where I am today without it.
Where do you think that, like, thinking about your college self and the experience that you had there and then coming home, and you said you were still very much in that environment of like toxicity. Where do you think your confidence came from to kind of like make all these big changes and these big transitions and take up space yourself, which is obviously something that you're really passionate about now helping other women do?
Yeah, I think a lot of people see it as, especially like new people that come to my page, they're like, oh my God, you're so confident. Like, wow, did you get there overnight? I'm like, no. Like, it takes years to do that. And a lot of people don't see how long and how much effort and how many cries and how many insecurities and how many imposter syndromes and all the things that I've had beforehand. And I really do feel like as I get older, and you'll know this too soon, Nora, because you're still in your 20s now, but once you get in your 30s, you're like, who cares about anything? Like, I can literally do anything I want because I feel so strong and confident and bold in myself and my body. But yeah, I mean, it's like, it's years of putting in the reps. Like, there's, I'm sure you guys know this with your business. Like, there's things where things crush and there's things where you just completely flop and you spent months on. You know, there's moments where you'll want to do a big lift or have a big workout and you'll crush it and then you'll fail. And like, the more fails that I get, the more I am just super excited about the process of restarting or re-getting into it or building on top of that, because that's really where you see the most growth. For lack of a better word, fail, because I don't feel like fail is like a good word to describe it, but more just like a growing opportunity to get up again. And the more you can get up, the bigger and stronger you can become. It's like, knock me down. Like, cool, I'll get up on my feet. One day I'll get up on it with one foot and do a pistol squat standing.
In this last year is the first time that I've really owned my strength. So I was a gymnast growing up and have always had muscles, and like, people would make fun of my six pack when I was in middle school and I was referred to as the tomboy, even though I really liked girly things and liked to dress that way. But truly not until this year did I start owning my muscles and being proud of like, I've worked for this literally my whole life. Like, I started gymnastics when I was three. We're going on 27 years of me being active. And I think to your point, I'm just saying like being so confident, but it is definitely that like, I don't care what anyone else thinks. It is solely for me. Like, I'm not doing this for anybody else. And I think that body image side of things is really important. And I think I would love to hear a little bit more how, of course, I'm nutrition focused, like how you were able to start changing some of those eating patterns and how that part of your journey kind of shifted once post-college and that realm.
For sure. Yeah. So I worked with a nutritionist in college and again, still was like kind of binge eating. And then when I wasn't losing the weight, my parents sent me Nutrisystem. Do you remember that like prepackaged meal? Like, they were trying to help, which, okay. But you know, when you're in a dorm room with another person and they're going out and having fun and everyone would meet in the food hall, and that's like the community aspect of it. Like, if you can envision like a sad person in the dorm room putting food in the microwave and like it beeps and it's just sad, you know? And so that was really tough. When I came back to Denver, God, I tried so many silly diets, which I'm sure you've heard a lot of, Nora, like the lemonade diet and Weight Watchers and just so many like ridiculous things. There was a moment where my mom and I were both on, we had chicken, broccoli, and rice, six meals a day. And I would just eat like constantly. Of course, we lost the weight because we're just eating nothing like all day long. And, you know, my mom's in her 60s. That's kind of like, diet is very much her background. And she was like, look, it's working. Like, this is great. Let's stick with it. Eventually, of course, like, I started to eat again. And really, it's a lot of like what I say in the gym. You're putting in the reps in the gym. You have to put your reps in with your mindset and with the food you eat. And so I originally actually started getting into intuitive eating and mindful eating through a friend of mine who had just talked about it. And I was like, I'm just going to like kind of look into this. And that shift took a while, but it's everything that I love about nutrition now as a coach and who I work with. Because it really just allows you to be so present in the moment. So many of us, myself included, can get so distracted. And if we actually just sat with the food we were eating and like made sure it was fueling ourselves and we got rid of the distractions and we like sat back and been like, Do I feel full? Is this fueling me? Am I satisfied? Do I want a little bit more? Like, if we ask those questions to ourselves, I swear, like, everyone would be like so much further along. I'm sure you know this too, Nora, but it's a lot of reps, really. It's just about like being able to trust myself. And there was a lot of moments where I didn't, but the more I stuck with it, the like more powerful I felt. Like, instead of food being the enemy, it was like, oh, we can work together. Like, we're actually in this together. And I always say, because like the foundation of how I coach is through strength training. And every time I would go into a workout and didn't feel great, I would always bring it back to the food I ate. And I'd be like, did that fuel me? Maybe let's try something a little bit different so that now I don't feel like shit in my workouts. And so I would kind of like work them together as much as I could. And the like closer I got to like making it work, I was like, oh, this is how it works now for me. And now I want to like be able to share that with others.
I love hearing all of that, obviously. And I'm so on board. I don't preach or practice restrictive dieting. I don't support individuals doing any intentional dieting, really, unless there is some medical nutrition reason that we need to go into, of course. But I like to share with people that we're all born with that innate ability to listen to our bodies. We, as babies, cry when we're hungry. We cry when we need to go to sleep. We cry when we poop. And we all have the capacity to get back there. But if you've been ignoring those hunger cues or not listening to your body or trying to just push through, even if it's an injury, or you're tired and you're just not giving your body sleep, tuning in, that's how I ask people to start inviting that intuition back in, is like, can you notice even waking up in the morning and your bladder is full? And then you go to the bathroom and notice how it feels to be relieved. So even if you don't have those hunger fullness cues quite yet, there are still other signals that your body is constantly sending you that you can give yourself that positive reinforcement. It's like, hey, we can listen. But I love hearing that you are able to very quickly put the pieces together too, of saying, if I'm not adequately fueling my body, then I'm not performing in the gym. Like, you are focusing on that output or that outcome. But being able to link the two, it's even the next level, which is awesome.
Yeah. And I always like to say, like, with the movement aspect, because again, I come from that base, is data. If we look at the data and we see how it makes us feel, and like, even in my workouts today, I'll be like, it's 10 a.m. and I'll put a little smiley face or something about how I'm feeling. And I know we'll probably talk about this as well. I'll be like, here's where I'm at in my cycle. Here's what I ate beforehand. And then afterwards, I'll check in and be like, is that smiley face or whatever that face? Do I feel like that now? I'm like, how am I feeling? So I always, even now today, being a coach for as long as I have, I'm like, I'm still going to check in with myself and my body to make sure that it still feels good. And that's really how I work with a lot of clients, is like, we take these like really small things, like going into it. How do you feel? Do I feel hungry? Like, what are these feelings that I have? And then afterwards, let's check back in with ourselves.
I think that curiosity and that body awareness is just, yeah, like Nora said, so amazing. And imagine too that being a trainer, and it sounds like, do you primarily train women or both, or
98%? Like, every once in a while I'll get a man come in, and then I've trained my husband like in the past, but now he works with someone else because we need to still do a little separation.
We get it.
But yeah, I mean, I would say 99% women, yeah.
Would you say that a lot of the desires of people coming to you is like in the weight loss realm?
It's funny you say that. Not as much anymore.
Okay.
And I think that every year that I am more most authentic and organic and real self, where I'm like, let's take up space, let's be strong, let's be bigger, let's be bold, I get women come to me that like their application says, I want to be strong as fuck. Sorry, can I curse? I don't know. So if I can curse on here.
Totally. Swear away.
Yeah, they come in and they're like, you know, I want to be strong and I want to be consistent. And like, how can we make that happen? So yeah, every once in a while, some people will come in with like weight loss goals, but I'm not a weight loss coach. And a lot of the clients that do come in, yes, they'll see some body recomp, but my focus is not weight loss. And typically, if people just come in with that in mind, I'm like, I'm happy for you. That's great. But that's not something that I specifically do. And I will send them to someone else.
Yeah, I appreciate. Yeah. And I think that's the best way that we can support and serve other people too, is we can't make them form fit into our mindset. Like, they have to be completely on board coming to us and how we're going to get results.
I think it's even just amazing to hear that your clients are coming to you wanting to be strong and they're mostly women, because I feel like that in itself is like a rare thing to hear. Women are like really scared of strength training. They don't want to get bulky. They don't want to get big. And that's not, in my experience, what strength training has done to me. It's really been this like tool for confidence and for being able to move my body in ways that is valuable to my life. So I like applaud you for being your authentic self and bringing those people in, because it's rare, I feel like, on the female side.
Well, it's funny you say that it's rare, because to me now, it doesn't feel rare, because that's like all I talk about and that's all I surround myself with. So even like on my social media feed, or even on my For You page or Discover page, it's like all these badass strong women, just because it's not like in my realm anymore. And so I'm sure there's still a lot of women out there that are still scared of it. And I'm trying to like just make it as easy and beginner friendly. But I will say, like, most of the people that come to my page are like, they see my strength, or they see like what I talk about, and they're like, oh, that is cool. Maybe I do actually want to be strong. Maybe they're not like, Monica, they're not like, I want to be bulky or I want to like build muscle. They really just say things like, I want to be strong. And so that to me is so important and so valuable, because even if there's some sort of weight loss component in it, underneath that, a lot of times for me, at least for my clients, it's not about weight loss. You know, it's about feeling confident. It's about having a better relationship with yourself, with your partner, being able to like do shit that you never thought you could. That's the 10 pounds I want to lose. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love that you bring up your partner too. And I've seen you talk about this quite a bit, is how your experience with fitness, with getting stronger, has also correlated to your sex life. Would you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I love talking about sex and I'll talk about anything. Yeah. I will say, first and foremost, it's helped me have a better sexual relationship with myself, actually, first and foremost. And I think that's the number one thing, because I don't know about you guys, but for so long, I didn't even really know much about myself and what was happening and how to make things happen down there. And it wasn't until like I really like figured out how to pleasure myself in ways that made me feel so sexy that we were able to have that connection as well. And I think with that, like, I really do, this sounds silly to a lot of people, but I relate so much confidence in every other aspect of my life towards being able to lift 350 pounds off the ground or bench press 180 pounds. Like, that is where I'm like, oh, of course I can climb a mountain. Of course I can do all this shit, because like, I was able to lift that off the ground. And so the more I like get into feeling strong, the more I want to like figure out other things. And so, yeah, I will say like it was the self-pleasure first, and then having more energy and being able to like be curious and excited with each other to like feel out our bodies together. And, you know, we've also been together almost a decade. And so it's like trying to be spicy and do different things is really important and valuable in our relationship too.
But you really correlate that confidence back to like your experience in the gym too, which is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people think it's crazy. Do you guys ever feel like that when you're lifting? You're like, oh, I can do anything now.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I think it's even beyond confidence. I think it is more like the mental health benefits for me of just like, I genuinely just feel better when I'm moving my body. Like when things feel better in my system, it just translates across everything. If you're sleeping better, you're probably making different eating choices. Maybe you feel more energized to have a date or go out with friends or do things that also fill your cup up. Like it's, for me, it's just so much more than lifting heavy shit. But lifting heavy shit allows me to do all of those things and feel like a badass.
Yeah. It's like the catalyst to everything else, or it's like the pathway to like, oh my gosh, there's so much more out there. Yeah. Confidence is like, is the big thing, right? But then there's just like, oh, well, there's also this and this and this. Like, there's just so many benefits to it I could talk about.
I really appreciate it. I think it was a reel you posted last week of, it was like, you know, this girl came up to me in the gym and was like, your hair, and why would you wear that color shorts? And like, you know, maybe those thoughts did or didn't happen. But I think it's important to acknowledge, like, do any of those negative body comments or things still come into your head? And how do you approach them? Or how do you coach individuals when like that stuff is naturally going to happen. We're going to compare ourselves. Like, that is inherently how we are as individuals, maybe more so as women. I can only speak to that. But how do you approach that when it comes up?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I will say, like, the more reps you put in your mindset, the more it'll feel more comfortable to you. First question, I guess, is do those thoughts still come up for me? Yes and no. Those specific things, not really. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I post online is a lot of the comments or things that I hear from clients or people that talk to me about certain situations. Do I say, you need to brush your hair? Nah, I don't really care about what my hair looks like. Oh, you've got a pimple on your face? Well, yeah, that sucks, but it is what it is. Do sometimes I feel bloated and I'm like, I shouldn't have worn as tight of pants? Yes, but that's really just like, I want to feel more comfortable in my skin and my body. Do some negative thoughts come up? Yeah, absolutely. But I feel like now, I think because I'm in this like better place of like feeling better in my body and my skin, I almost kind of let them come and go or like just kind of float by and not stay there. And I think with a lot of clients, they let those thoughts stay there, be there, and be front of vision. It's kind of like if you've got an angel and devil on your shoulder and they're always listening to the devil, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of more on this side or like more neutral in the middle. They're allowed to come and go just like feelings are, but I don't sit in them. I'm not going to like allow myself to like make that a part of me. One thing I do with clients is called the thought ladder. I don't know if you've heard it before, but it's basically just like changing your thought pattern over time. It's basically like if you think you're ugly, tomorrow you're not going to think you're beautiful or you're Beyonce. But over time, you can feel like that with just slightly more positive or neutral thoughts to be able to get to that, whatever that goal thought is, right? And so I have clients work on that a lot. We'll actually work on like a thought ladder together just to make, instead of I'm ugly, I have a human body, I have an able body, whatever that may be, so that once they believe that thought, they can kind of move on to the next one. So that's kind of how I work on like that mindset thing. You know, in the moment, again, it's okay to have those feelings, but I always am like, it's the same thing with like food and working out is like check in. What are the facts? What are the actual facts? And this I learned from my therapist. Like, I hear this a lot, and sometimes I'll say this about myself. I'm not enough. It's like, well, what is enough actually mean? So sometimes I'll have my clients like define enough. And a lot of times that enough comes from a story that they were told or they had gone through like in the past. And then when those feelings and thoughts come up, it's like, okay, what are the facts of what is happening now in reality? Do those facts match what your thoughts really are? And most of the time they don't.
Yeah. I love that. It's like the question of like, is this thought true? Like, is this true? And a lot of times you'll be like, I can't know this to be true. So like, you kind of have to keep moving on from that thought and not let it stick. It's amazing that you're doing that work with your clients, because I think a lot of people don't see trainers as mindset leaders either all the time. They're like, oh, this person's here to like help me get fit. But so much of getting fit or changing your fitness in your life is also a mindset thing. And so it's like really awesome to hear you talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, your mind is so powerful.
So powerful.
And it can take over a lot of what you think you can or cannot accomplish. And, you know, there's so much that can go into it. And definitely like therapy has been a huge thing for me, which I'm very open and talking about. And it's helped me in so many ways. And so if I feel like I can't help them in that aspect, like it's another person that I would send them to or like work with someone else. I like to say like I'm a collaborative coach. I'm not an expert in everything, but I do know some really awesome people that we can all kind of work together, because that's really what it's about, is making sure that they get the best for what they need specifically in their life.
Yeah. One of the things you mentioned as well was how you bring awareness to the menstrual cycle. Like, you talked about the smiley faces and checking in before the workout and after the workout and thinking about the menstrual cycle. I'd love to hear how you kind of integrate that with your clients and what you get people thinking about as it correlates to their cycles.
Yeah. And I know you guys definitely have talked about this in the past, but I've been on birth control for like my whole life. I didn't even know what cycle was. I just went through the thing. There was so many years where I just didn't have a cycle. I've been on so many different types. And just like, I guess it's been a year and a half or so, I completely got off of everything. And that was really just because I was kind of in this moment where I was like, I feel like I should know what my body's doing every month. I feel like there's got to be something going on here. And I really just wanted to be more in tune. And I feel like since I went off, I've been more aware of my body than ever before. So I will just say, do what works best for you. But I have an episode on getting off of birth control. And it's been, I mean, honestly, I did it when I started therapy. And those two together were like so life-changing. It was so great. Menstrual cycle for me personally, and now that it's been a while, a year and a half that I've been really consistent, is something that I notice. I don't really change personally my training for it. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that has been debunked about, you know, don't do this during this part of your cycle and like be a dainty fairy and be soft and gentle. And it's like, no, I lift heavy every day. And sure, I can manage my cycle or how I'm feeling based off of that. And everyone is so different, but you can still work out during your whole cycle. Will you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, we did like a pretty science heavy episode with Dr. Alyssa this season too, like very similar things. You know, one thing that I called out too is I do help a lot of people who are transitioning off of birth control. So for me, there's kind of a time and a place. Like if your body is under a ton of stress, maybe you do need to take a step back from exercise, or you might need to incorporate more rest in between your sets or having more rest days in general. But I do not agree that your whole luteal phase or your whole menstrual phase should not be moving your body or just doing yoga or walking. And that was really just learning more about the hormonal shifts that are happening. But there is a difference between someone who is healing their hormones and someone who is in kind of homeostasis or in quote unquote hormonal balance. And I think that that's important too. So do you have people who are like going through those transitions, and like, how can we teach them to tune into their body or more so along that theme that we were talking about earlier?
Yes, that's a great question. I actually had Alyssa on mine too. And that's so fun. She's great. She's so awesome and is so knowledgeable.
So
I send people to her all the time. But this is where I'm like, let's tune in. Let's use an app that can help you track your cycle. I'm personal preference Clue. A lot of people use the Oura Ring. Like there's so many natural cycles. There's so many ones out there that you can use. But it's just more data. And I think the more data we have, the more we can be in tune and see how we need to shift our workout cycle. Now, me personally, I don't have a ton of knowledge in like working with people with different hormonal imbalances or endometriosis or like anything like that specifically. That's not really me. And so typically I'll be like, all right, let's work together with someone else to like make a plan best for you, or I'll have them see their doctor or whatever first and they'll kind of let me know. But a lot of times for the people that, you know, just have a pretty normal cycle, we'll just check in and plan basically around like their actual cycle in how they feel. For a lot of people like myself, they can move their body. And so there doesn't have to be that much of a change. But if we're going for like our, you know, heavy lifts, or if we are trying to PR or something, you know, I can kind of usually take their cycle and plan around that as well. But most of the people I work with are either on birth control where they don't get a period, or they have a pretty normal cycle.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of information out there around cycle syncing and misconceptions for women and how we do have to be low and slow for like half of our cycle. And if we have goals, that's just not realistic for reaching those goals or maintaining any level of fitness. So I love to hear that you are on the same page with that. And speaking of misconceptions, I would love for us to just maybe touch on what are some of the most common misconceptions that you see or you experience with your clients and that like you feel like are really important to be debunked?
Yeah, I mean, we can go, there's a ton of ways we can go. Obviously, we can say lifting weights will make you bulky. Like I said, I don't get a ton of women that come in anymore and think that on my end. But that's a very, you know, I have a very niche thing, and that's still a massive thing out there. And obviously, bulky as a term is subjective. One time I put up a post and I had like four women. I'd be like, which one do you think is bulky? And the numbers were all over the board. It really just depends on the person, right? Like, I think it was like Jessica Alba. And like, that was like the number one person of like bulky. And I was like, wait, what? And so it really just, it depends on the person, and it's very subjective. But as we all know and can prove a million different ways, you're not going to get bulky overnight. Muscle doesn't happen overnight. These guns happened in 5 years of lifting really heavy shit and eating a lot of weight or eating a lot of food. And it's not going to happen if you lift a 20-pound bicep curl. And it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of reps. And it's a lot of work to put in the gym to build muscle.
Yeah. I think for me, so many people still come to me like severely under eating and they're trying to do all the things and all at once. And it's not realistic. And, you know, I know we talked about this a little bit during our collegiate career, but when we're under fueling and trying to make progress in the gym, your body is in a really tricky spot trying to balance the two, right? We're trying to have more energy output and we need to meet that with energy input and maybe even a little bit more. And so maybe you can speak to like the difference that you notice in even yourself or your clients when they actually start to adequately fuel their body or learn more about nutrition and protein and how that changes their performance.
Yeah, I'll take that twofold because number one, I get a lot of people that come in that work out 6 or 7 days a week and they're working out so much. And I used to be this like HIIT junkie that would work out so much. And changing the mindset of actually working out less 3 to 4 times a week, but being super intentional is so life-changing. But that's a huge shift, right? You're like, no, I have to sweat, have to be exhausted, have to work out every single day or else it's not going to work. I have to do a bunch of cardio. It's not going to work. And it's quite the opposite, right? If we're really intentional with our programming, we work out 3 or 4 times a week. We are intentional with how much we're eating. Obviously, protein is a huge aspect of that. Fiber is a huge aspect of that. Creatine is a supplement that I highly recommend to a lot of people as well. But taking that and switching it to something more intentional of lifting, you know, resistance training, still adding in the cardio and stuff when you like, but it's such a game changer in so many ways. But again, it takes time. You know, it's hard to change the mindset overnight. And they're like so scared to do less, but see so much more benefits overall. And so I always say like stick with it for like at least 2 or 3 months. And I promise like you'll see that. You just have to like give yourself that time. And really, people just don't give themselves enough rest and recovery. And that's a huge piece of seeing that body losing weight, gaining muscle, like whatever you want to do with your goals, changing anything aesthetically, you have to make sure that you're recovering in between.
Yeah. Do you use like any sort of wearable device? Like I started wearing a Whoop 3 years ago and it was telling me every single day, you are not recovered. You are not recovered. And I was like, fuck this. Like I'm going to work out. And it was so spot on. Like my body was in a terrible place and I was just ignoring it because I felt like I needed to be moving my body a certain way. Do you find for individuals, I know we're talking a lot about data collection and, you know, tracking our cycle and having measurements and things. Do you encourage people to use something that measures their HRV or how to check in and know like, oh, I actually need a little bit more rest or recovery on these days or not?
Personal preference. I've never actually used a Whoop. I've heard really great things about them. I have an Apple Watch and I literally use it for the time and for my step count. A lot of my clients actually get some of that kind of data is actually not great for them. So they get so honed in on how many calories were burned in the workout or step count. So I actually tell them not to. If they want some sort of step kind of count thing, I'm just like, use your Apple or your phone or just get like a really basic Fitbit where you can't see a lot of that stuff or like, you know, some sort of step counter thing. Or I'll just be like, go out for a walk twice a day.
Novel idea.
Yeah. It's funny when I say it like that. I'm like, literally just go outside. And they're like, oh, yeah, I could do that. You know,
no, but it's true. Like, it doesn't have to be that complicated. I think that's the point.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like the data that I mostly am taking, like obviously with weight, I want you to take that. How you're feeling though is more of the stuff that I do. It's like, how do I feel? Just checking in with your body and less about like the steps or the HRV or like where you're at on calories and stuff like that. So again, personally, I haven't used Whoop, but heard really great things. And probably if I was wearing Whoop in my mid to late 20s, would have said the same thing for sure.
Yeah, I really like your system of just like the smiley face. It's kind of like when you go into like an airport bathroom and it's like, how was your experience today? No. You could just be like 1 to 5. Like, how am I feeling? You know?
The simpler, the better. And I think it does just help to support. So I just, my Whoop expired and I'm not renewing it. And it's been really nice coming back and just paying more attention to how I'm feeling, as opposed to just opening the app first thing in the morning and checking, how did I sleep last night? And how many hours were I awake? And blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, I feel pretty good. I feel energized. Oh, I feel a little bit slower today. And I was going to bring this up when we were talking about working out during your menstrual phase or even in your luteal phase too. I always encourage people, like, just start, because sometimes you feel better afterwards, or it might actually help your cramps. It might help to move things through your body. But give yourself the permission that if you start the workout and you're not feeling it 10 minutes in, you can stop. Like, you're not going to break. You're not going to undo all the progress that you've made in the last 10 weeks. You can give yourself that permission slip. And I think it's so helpful.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer of deload weeks, taking vacation and taking it fully off. And, you know, I just had a client recently be like, oh man, I took 10 days off and I like feeling weak getting back in. And I was like, that's because you took 10 days off. That's great. Tomorrow or probably the next day, you're going to feel awesome and you're going to feel refreshed and you're actually probably going to feel stronger. But like, your body's just getting back into it again. So it's like, it's okay. And I promise that rest is good for you. It's like just sticking with the process.
I just took a week deload and I came back and like PR'd my deadlift.
That's right.
You know, like, I feel like the recovery sometimes is like more beneficial than like if it just kept going. It's really essential sometimes.
Yeah. And I've worked with a lot of past athletes, and I'm sure you guys, you know, have been in, did you say gymnastics, Nora? What sport did you play?
I didn't do it in college, just, yeah, for a very long time.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you did in college or not, you were still an athlete. And so if, as athletes, right, we are so used to going hard and doing all the things. And I work with a lot of past athletes that, like, that's what they expect, right? But we're not a teenager anymore. You know, like, that's just not how our body works. And we need to make sure we're doing so much more recovery to be able to see progress still now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this has been such a fun conversation. I so appreciate you sharing your story with our audience and your experience and all that you are bringing to the fitness and health industry and supporting women is so amazing. I want to wrap up today the same way that we wrap up all of our episodes with our guests, with a little lightning round. So we're going to ask you four quick questions. I will fire off the first one, and it is, what is your favorite meal to cook or consume?
I live in Austin, Texas now, so tacos, and it will always be tacos. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, tacos.
That's Monica's too.
Same. Yeah. There's so many different kinds of tacos, but they're all just so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite period product?
I'm just going to say Clue, because I use that. It's, I guess it's not a product itself, but it's a service that I use now and has been really helpful in the tracking. Yeah.
Yeah, that counts. Count it.
Yeah. Count it.
Yeah. Advocate for the tracking. Yes.
I was just going to say, I've tried period underwear and I really wanted to like them and they just didn't work for me. So if you guys have like a really good period underwear set, like, let me know.
Really?
I wanted to like it.
I like them overnight, and I did get Thanks, and I've kind of tried a few different brands. I would say game changer for me has actually been using a menstrual disc. I used to use a cup and it just was not a good fit for my body. And the disc has been so, so much better and so much more comfortable. And I wanted to use something that was more sustainable, reusable. But that's my word of advice too, is just like, keep experimenting if you have the resources and time to do so until you find something that works for you. It doesn't matter if it's tampons or pads or underwear, whatever. Like, you got to be comfortable at the end of it.
Tangent, but Nora, I'm curious, have you ever had sex with the disc in?
I have not yet, but we've talked about it. Okay, do you have or prefer an AM or PM routine?
I am an AM girly now, but I do like a little PM routine as well. I kind of have a routine in the morning and evening. Yeah, but I like to go to bed early, to wake up early.
Yeah. What's your wind down?
My wind down is to get off my phone, like get off of it, put it in another room, plug it in the kitchen, leave it there. Typically, I'll do some sort of stretching or mobility on the floor with my dog while we're watching a show. And then I'll finish the show on the couch and then go upstairs, do skincare, brush the teeth, floss, do all the things, go into bed and read for like 15 to 20 minutes and then fall asleep. Hatch Alarm is where it's at, though. If I'm going to recommend anything, it's a Hatch Alarm. It's amazing.
I love my sunrise alarm clock. No cell phone in the bedroom. Okay, speaking of reading, what is one book that has had a big impact on you or that you just love?
I read a lot now, and I read mostly fiction, I will say, but I'll give you two. I'll give you a nonfiction and a fiction. The fiction I read, though, is like thriller, killer. I usually wouldn't recommend it before bed because I do have a lot of bad dreams. The one that I read recently is called The Women by Kristen Hanna, and she's one of my favorite authors. Really love it. It's really in-depth. It's not a thriller at all. It's about women in the Vietnam War, and it's just so good. But nonfiction-wise, I just finished this book called Limitless by Jim Quick, and it's all about memory. And that's been super helpful for me because I don't want to be the type of person that'll meet someone and forget their name a second afterwards. And so it's been super helpful to remember names, experiences. If I'm doing some sort of speech or something, it's been a game changer to get those tips and tools and resources to be able to have better cognition.
That's awesome. I'm reading The Nightingale by Hannah.
I've heard that book is really good.
Ah, I love that one too. Yeah. Did I say Kristen Hannah?
Yeah.
The Great Alone is another good one too.
Yes. So good. I have to alternate between nonfiction and fiction because it takes me so much longer to read nonfiction. And I'm like, can I just not read anymore? And then I read a fiction book in 2 days and I'm like, oh no, we got it. We're good.
Same. Oh my God, I feel the exact same. I read fiction at night and nonfiction in the morning. And typically in the morning, I'll read the nonfiction while I'm like eating my overnight oats or whatever. And I'll be like, oh, I'm going to read 10 pages every day. That's my goal. But I get through like a page and a half and I'm like, close. All right, time to move on with my day. I'm like, that's why it took me like 4 months to read one book. And it takes me, yeah, like a couple days to read like a good nonfiction book.
It's good. I feel like we could have you back to talk about being sober, because I think that like sober curiosity standpoint, like that's something that I'm definitely personally interested in. I think it's trending a lot. I really want to connect to you, if you don't already know, Meg Gerber. She's a dietitian in Austin. She just created these really cool digestive bitters and all about like mocktails and some things like that too. They're awesome.
Nice.
And also, I just wanted to comment that like we're talking about maybe women still wanting to lose weight, but I would really like to think the two of you have very big social media followings. And if anything, like we're putting and contributing out into the world that being strong is sexy. Like you have the power, we have the power to help change those mindsets. And I think that that's really, really cool. So I hope that we're a part of the future of changing that people now want to embrace their muscles and want to be strong. Like for me, that's why social media can be good. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, I love it. There's a lot of bad stuff that can happen on social media, but also there's a lot of great stuff, right? Like we can all can connect and have this experience together. And really, I will say with social media, unfollow, mute people that make you feel like shit or that you don't want to be around. Like I said, you know, I don't get a lot of clients at weight loss, or my feed looks a certain way because I curated that. And the more you consume what you want to become or who you want to be surrounded with, that's what's going to happen. You know, I don't know a ton about the manifestation, but it's really like what you put yourself around is like what you're going to get out of it. So yeah, I appreciate that very much.
Tara, where can people find you? How can they plug in to work with you? What do you got going on?
Yeah, Tara La Ferreira on every platform. I'm most frequently on Instagram. I'm on Threads a lot. I like the Threads community. It's been fun. TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Pinterest, all the things. It's just a lot of A's, a lot of R's. I'm the only Tara La Ferreira out there. And yeah, I have a program called the TL Method, which is my group program. And I work with a lot of women one-on-one to create custom programming and coaching for their goals as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing with our community. We're so excited for them to listen to this episode.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you guys.
The information in today's episode is not to be used as medical advice. If you are currently struggling with or dealing with something out of the ordinary, we highly recommend talking directly to your provider.